So today's Father's Day, and for some it is a really joyful day, filled with celebration and gratitude. But for others it may bring more difficult memories, sadness, disappointment, or even longing. Some had wonderful fathers, others experienced absence or hurt or loss. But whatever your experience of fatherhood is, the good news for us today is that when we understand God as Father, He is nothing like our earthly fathers. He is perfect, He is just, He is loving. Now, every good father does represent something of God's character. Every imperfect father reminds us that only God Himself is perfect. And as we're continuing in our Discipleship Following Jesus series, today we come to one of the most important truths of the Christian faith, the Trinity. Now, when people hear the word Trinity, they often think of some kind of complex theological puzzle. But the Trinity is not a puzzle to solve. The Trinity is the God we know, the God we love, the God we worship, and the God we follow. Simply put, the Father loves us, the Son saves us, and the Holy Spirit helps us. And every follower of Jesus is invited into a relationship with the triune God. The key scripture that we're looking at this morning is Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you." These are some of the last words that Jesus spoke before ascending to heaven. Notice carefully, Jesus says, "in the name." Singular. Yet he names three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons, perfectly united, eternally existing in a loving relationship. As disciples, we are not simply following rules. We are not just belonging to a religion. We are in that place where we're in a relationship with the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. And today, I want us to examine some wonderful truths about the God that we worship. First point is the Father loves us. 1 John 3:1. "See how much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are." John reminds us of something that it seems is easy to forget. God is not merely our creator, he is our Father. Remember, Jesus taught his followers to pray, "Our Father in heaven." That was revolutionary. The God who created the universe invites us into a family relationship. Now, many may carry wounds from earthly fathers, but God is not like the worst examples of human parenthood. God is loving, God is faithful, God is present, and God is protective. The Father loves us so very much. He calls us his children. He's loving, he's faithful, he's patient, he's present, he's protective. He is everything that a perfect father should be. And the truth is, God never abandons his children. He is with us in every circumstance. He is with us in every situation. As we sang earlier, "when the darkness closes in, still I will say." We say, "blessed be the name of the Lord," but we say, "thank you, Lord, for being with us." Tim Keller said this, "the only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child." We have that kind of access. Morning, noon, night, we have direct access to the Father. We don't have to wait for when we're in church. We don't have to wait for when there's a pastor or a vicar there to pray for us. We have direct access to God. Isn't that incredible? It's a wonderful picture. And because of Jesus, we can come confidently to our Father at any time. There was a little boy who was asked, "what does faith mean?" And the little boy said, "faith means holding my dad's hand when it gets dark." That's a beautiful picture of relationship. And that is a beautiful picture of discipleship. When we follow Jesus, we trust him. We trust our Heavenly Father that when life becomes uncertain, that when difficulty comes, that we are not left on our own. We hold his hand because he is the one that never lets go of ours. Second point, the Son reveals the Father and saves us. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me." And then in John 14:9, he added, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Now Philip, he wanted to know what God was like, and Jesus answered him by saying, "Look at me." When we see Jesus, we see God's compassion, we see God's holiness, we see his mercy, we see his justice, and we see his love. If we want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus. Charles Stanley said this, "Jesus Christ came not only to save us from our sins, but to show us what God is like." Again, friends, this is the heart of discipleship. The more we know Jesus, the more we know the Father. The more we walk with Jesus, the more we know the Father's comforting presence with us. The Trinity, it's not just a doctrine, it's the story of our salvation. The Father planned salvation, the Son accomplished salvation, and the Spirit applies salvation in our lives. All three work together. They are one. Romans 5:8 says this, "God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." Before we knew him, before we loved him, he loved us first. Jesus willingly went to the cross. He took our place. He died for our sins. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again. And because Jesus lives, we can be forgiven. We can have eternal life, but we are also reconciled to the Father. He was the only way. There was no other way that we could be saved. No other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Imagine for a moment that someone's drowning in the sea and a rescue helicopter arrives. And the rescuer doesn't just shout instructions from the helicopter. The rescuer jumps into the water, jumps in to make sure that the person who needs saving is saved. And that's what Jesus did. He entered our world. He entered our suffering. He entered into our place of death. And he rescued us through the cross, through his resurrection. Out of love, he was willing to do what had to be done to ensure that we are saved. Third point, the Holy Spirit helps us follow Jesus. John 14, verses 16 and 17. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth." Do you notice the Trinity again here? The Son asks, the Father gives, the Spirit comes. Jesus knew his disciples would need help. And let's be honest, we need help, don't we? Every day we need help. Every day we need strength. Every day we need the Lord to carry us through. And we have a great blessing. The Holy Spirit lives within every believer. The Holy Spirit isn't a force. He's not an influence. He is God. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to pray. The Holy Spirit that guides us in truth. The one who gives us our daily strength. The Holy Spirit helps us to resist temptation and comforts us when we're hurting. And it's the Holy Spirit working in us and through us that helps us to become more like Jesus. That does that transforming work that changes us from the inside out. John Piper said this, "The Christian life is not merely difficult, it is impossible apart from the work of the Holy Spirit." And this is so true. Without the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we find things impossible. We may try and strive and do things in our own strength. We may try and do things in our own will. We may just try as hard as we can. But all that does is tire us out. In our own strength, we can do nothing. But in and through the power of the Lord working in us, we can do everything. God never intended us to strive in our own strength. The Holy Spirit was given so that we could have the power to follow Jesus, the power to endure, the power to keep on keeping on. All because of him, not because of us. If you think about a lamp can look absolutely beautiful. But if the lamp's not plugged in, it can't shine. There is no power. In the same way, we cannot shine for Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the one who connects us to God's life. The Spirit is the one who enables us to become the people that God always intended us to be, not through our own strength. And when the Holy Spirit works in us, there's fruit that's produced. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. The Spirit produces these things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I would assume, friends, that for some of this fruit, it's still a work in progress in our lives. Maybe we could tick off a few things and say, yes, that is true of me, 25 hours a day, 8 days a week. Or maybe we look at that list and we go, love. We all love something. Maybe we don't love the right things. The Bible tells us the love of money is the root of all evil, but love. I love Cadbury's chocolate, or at least I did before they started putting palm oil in it. I love fresh white bread. Oh, but bread's really not that good for me. I love Weetabix, but it's got to be smothered in sugar. Probably more sugar than it's actually safe for me to eat. Yes, definitely more sugar than Weetabix, yes, yes. Quadruple the calorific value by the time I've finished, yes. So there's things that I love. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. But I don't love them in the way that I love chocolate or incredibly sugar-covered Weetabix. It's a different kind of love. And joy. Oh, I'm always joyful on a Sunday. When I go out that door and get back in my car and go home, I'm always joyful. Arriving at church, well, you know how it is on a Sunday. You get into the car with your spouse, partner, significant other, and you come to church. And for the majority of that journey, you've had an argument. Yet the moment you come through that door, the smile comes on. And you show to the rest of the congregation that you're full of joy and there's peace in your heart, don't you? We're very good at putting on facades. The Holy Spirit is meant to produce these things in our lives as fruit. They're not things we're meant to pretend. They're not things that we are meant to just manifest whenever we feel like. And patience. I'm thankful that you're all patient with me on a Sunday morning, especially when we have pauses in the service for various reasons. Kindness. You're all kind, aren't you?
Kind of.
Goodness. We all think we're good, but the Bible says that none of us are good. None of us are righteous. We all fall short of God's standard. And faithful. Well, we like to think we're faithful. Are we as faithful to God as we should be? I'm certain throughout the land today, there are those who are sitting at home right now watching highlights of the World Cup rather than praising or praying to the Lord. But they might be praying. They might be praying for their team to win. This is one of those moments, one of those days in people's lives where even if they don't believe God exists, they're going to pray. Funny how when people want something, they choose prayer. Not out of faith, but out of want, out of need, out of what they think should happen. Being faithful is faithful in every circumstance. Being faithful is trusting that God hears our prayers when we pray according to his will. Gentleness, yes. I don't think anyone in this room is not gentle. Of course, I don't know you that well. You might be the sort of people that go home and perform science experiments on your neighbour's cat. I don't know. But I assume. Or on your neighbours, yeah. Yeah, maybe you're animal lovers, so you'd rather operate on your neighbour than their cat. We all assume the best in people. And we should always assume that God has the best in mind for people. But sometimes I think, you know, gentleness is important, but sometimes we're too gentle with other people about what we believe. We should be speaking the truth in love. We should be sharing the truth of who God is. And yes, we can be gentle in how that we do it, but the message of truth needs to come. And self-control. Yeah, we're all very good at being self-controlled in church. But what happens when other people aren't watching? What happens when you are in the car? The road in front of you is empty. And you know the speed limit is 30. But if you live near Dave, I've seen on the news this week that they've put up a new AI speed camera near where Dave lives. And the first day that it went up, someone took the camera off. And they went to replace the camera. And the day they replaced the camera, they didn't just take the camera off, they bent the entire post that the camera was attached to. I'm not saying it was Dave. I'm just saying he lives near there. Rather than exercise self-control and stick to the speed limit, which is a sensible thing to do to ensure that you don't hurt yourself or others, some people without self-control decided to go and pull this camera down. We'll forget about the property damage. We'll forget about the ultimate cost to the taxpayer. But isn't it simpler for those people just to stay at the speed limit, even if it's only while they go past the camera? There are things that we need to exercise self-control in. Maybe the amount we eat. Maybe what it is that we drink. Maybe the way that we dress. The way in which we express ourselves. There are things that are right and appropriate for us to be self-controlled in. And if we want to be different, if we want the world to see that we're different, if we want the world to know that we are followers of Jesus, then we do at times have to control ourselves. Our tongues, our attitudes. Self-control is an important thing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is what a disciple is meant to have. I would suggest that those are things that we are growing into, and we trust that the fruit will fully develop in each and every one of our lives. Fourth thing, the Trinity and Father's Day. Father's Day reminds us that the greatest Father of all is our Heavenly Father. Earthly fathers are not perfect. In fact, none of us are perfect, but we are called to point people towards the Lord. And the model of a good father is someone who loves sacrificially, leads humbly, serves faithfully, shows grace, and points people to Jesus. Now this morning, whether you're a father, a grandfather, a mentor, a youth leader, a teacher, or a friend, God can use you to reflect his love to the next generation. The greatest gift that we have is that we can give to children is not money or possessions. The greatest gift that each of us can pass on is showing children and others what Jesus looks like, what it looks like to follow Jesus. Some people ask, does the Trinity really matter? Absolutely, it does. Without the Father, we lose God's love. Without the Son, we lose salvation. Without the Spirit, we lose God's power. The Trinity is not an optional extra. It's the very heart of our faith. It's the Father who chose us. It's the Son who redeems us. It's the Spirit who transforms us. Every prayer, every act of worship, every step of discipleship flows from the work of our triune God. We must trust him. We must follow him. Let me give you a gospel invitation. Perhaps today you know about God, but you don't know him personally. The Bible teaches us that we've all sinned. The Bible teaches us that we've all gone our own way. But God loves us so much that he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to die for us. Because Jesus lived a perfect life, the life that we could never live. He died on the cross to save us from our sins. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. And today he offers forgiveness and eternal life to all who believe. We believe in a triune God. The Bible is clear when it says in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus is the one. He is the only way of salvation. And people can be forgiven. People can become a child of God. People can know the Father's love, can receive the Son's salvation, and can be filled with the Holy Spirit when they simply repent and turn to Jesus in faith. And they trust Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Let me give you a call to action this morning. For believers, deepen your relationship with the Father. Do that through prayer. Spend time praying each and every day. Second, follow the example of Jesus and walk in daily obedience. Jesus did the Father's will. We must do the Father's will too. And depend upon the Holy Spirit, not your own strength. Rely on the Holy Spirit empowering you and enabling you. Then reflect God's character. Reflect God in your home, in your workplace, and in your community. When people see you, may they be drawn to Christ. Intentionally disciple the next generation. Children are important to the Lord. Do you remember that time when Jesus was there and people brought children to him and the disciples got in the way and tried to stop the kids coming to Jesus? But Jesus said, bring them, bring the children. Every generation needs to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. For fathers or grandfathers, let me encourage you to lead spiritually. Let me encourage you to pray regularly for your family. Model what repentance looks like for those within your family. Live as a person who demonstrates both grace and truth. And point your children and your grandchildren continually to Jesus. Yes, you can talk to them about other things. Yes, you can get involved in their hobbies. But don't put off the most important news you could ever give, that Jesus is Lord. And for us as a church, may we become a community where people encounter the love of the Father, the grace of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. May we be a place that's known for its love as we seek to reach out into this community, as we seek to help others to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour for themselves. May God bless what is done, either from the church or from us as individuals. Let's be the light that shines in this community. In conclusion, the Trinity is not merely a doctrine to understand, it is a relationship to enjoy. The Father welcomes us, the Son saves us, the Spirit empowers us. This is the God who we worship. This is the God who loves us. This is the God who calls us to follow Jesus. And this is the God who is worthy of our complete devotion. Friends, the Trinity is the foundation of discipleship and it's the heart of Father's Day. May we know that special blessing of Father, Son and Spirit upon our lives each and every day. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that you were willing to go to the cross, that you paid the penalty for our sin. And we thank you, Father, for the plan that you had to send your Son in our place. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are with us, that you live and dwell within us, and that you empower us to walk, to move, to live. Help us to respond to your leading. Help us to respond to the work that you are doing in our lives. Help us to be the disciples that will shine for Jesus in all that we do and all that we say. And Lord, for the fathers, grandfathers, for the children, for the father figures, I pray, Lord, that you would empower each and every one to speak the truth of who you are. May we live lives that give you the glory and the honour that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord help us to live faithfully. May we reflect his love and may we shine for him. May our homes, may our church, may our lives point to Jesus for his glory. Today, know the perfect Father loves you and is with you. Amen.